The Equality March was today.
Yeah. I skipped brunch for that.
Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of dish.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Gay Talk 2.0, streaming live via digital stream radio from our nation's capital in Washington, D.C. We are sitting here at the Hyatt Regency Hotel in our lovely suite that was given to us to be able to broadcast our show. And my name is Tom. I am your host. And as always, I am here with my crazy co-host, who have really shared in a fantastic experience with me. We'll start with the first one.
Hey, all, Nick or Trish.
And the second one?
Good to be with you guys. It's Chris.
And welcome you all to
The Dish.
You
know what
amazing.
I just realized?
What?
We literally flip-flops out. I'm on the opposite side. And I was like, is he going to say the first one to my left? And then we're going to screw up the opener? How are we going to handle this?
Yeah, I sort of kind of had to adjust because I was like, oh, I'm seeing things.
We went from a studio table and we're on like a coffee table. And this little, we're sitting on like comfy ass chairs, but they're so uncomfortable because we have to lean in so we could reach the microphones.
Well, you know, one of the things that I do have to say though, although it's a little weird the setup, I have to say our room is banging.
Oh, yeah.
It's wicked nice here.
You know, much props to the Hyatt Regency because we have reached out to them and say, hey, listen, we're going to be staying at your hotel. Do you have a conference room that we could possibly maybe have or use for an hour and a half or so to record our show and to broadcast? And they were like, well, you know, we'll see what we can do. Unfortunately, they didn't have a conference room, but they had a very nice suite for us. And so, yeah, that was certainly a surprise when we got here, and we're super grateful. And thank you to the staff of the Hyatt Regency Hotel in Capitol Hill. Thank you.
We're just going to double check that bill. No upcharges
there. Yeah, exactly.
You already know. So, you know,
check that statement on the Gay Talk credit card.
I'd be like, no. I think we got overcharged here. Mm-hmm. So, so there's so much to talk about. What an amazing weekend so far. Let's start off by talking about our trip. First of all, we were late to the parade. So
late to the parade.
We
didn't even make it to the parade.
So
it started at 4:30. We got to DC at like a hard 6.
Yeah.
So
here's the thing.
Tally it up.
Thank you, Don.
Hey, Rusty from D.C.
He's from D.C.?
No, we're in D.C., so hi from D.C.
Oh, hi, Rusty. So here's what happened. So normally, like most other major cities, L.A., New York, Boston,
Munich.
Most parades are on Sundays. They've always been. I have never been to a pride that's on any other day other than Sunday. So I was a little shocked when on Friday, as I'm looking to confirm my reservations here at the hotel, I'm reading up and I'm like, the parade is Saturday. And I'm like, holy shit. And it starts at 4:30. And if we don't leave first thing in the morning, like super early, we're going to miss it. And so we ended up leaving like around 11. And so we ended up missing the entire parade. But we went out and had dinner and did all that good stuff afterwards.
So not only have you not heard of a pride parade taking place on a Saturday, but you also haven't looked up the dates of a parade clearly either, because the parade was on Saturday. We missed that.
I think I just said that, didn't I?
I'm confused.
Doesn't take much.
I'm confused.
Either way, we missed a parade in D.C. We missed a pride parade in D.C.
But you know what I think it is? We base it off New York, and that's always on a Sunday, and that's always been our home base for pride.
Yes.
And like, because Boston did Saturday too, and I think a lot of people that were planning to do it this weekend did it Saturday, even though D.C. did do Saturday last year because of the Equality March that was on Sunday that was planned in cities around the nation. So they may have bumped it for that in certain cities. But I completely agree. I base everything off of my experience going to New York Pride on Sundays.
Yeah, and which...
Hey, I take that Monday off.
We still might hit it up. You never know. But
we
you know,
had fun anyway, regardless.
It was a blast.
Nick ended up meeting a friend that he had not seen in a while, so they went out to dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And then Chris and I took a stroll around trying to get through all the craziness because they had shut down DuPont Circle because of the parade.
It was all foot traffic. You couldn't drive down certain streets.
And so we ended up going to a restaurant at first, and it was called Trio. Shame on you. And I'm going to,
here comes this week's burn.
Oh, this week's burn. So here's the thing. So we walk in and we ask her, are you guys still serving? She goes, oh yeah, I'll get you a menu. You'll be my last serve, my last customers that we can serve food.
And it wasn't even that late. Let's just say
No, it was 9:15. She sits us down, hands us menus, Chris and I. And then the busboy comes out and says, I don't know why you got menus because the kitchen is closed. And I looked at Chris and Chris looks at me and then we look at each other and then the little girl comes out and I'm like, she came out with a sad face like, I'm sorry, guys, but the kitchen is closed. And I'm like, then why the fuck did you give us menus to begin with? And I understand it wasn't her fault, but we just got up and left. We ended up going to this place called Agora. And let me tell you.
It was phenomenal.
Is it Turkish?
The waiters, some of the people that worked, it's Mediterranean. And yeah, you know, I think it was predominantly Turkish cuisine, but it was definitely Mediterranean, Middle Eastern.
Very tapas oriented, a lot of smaller dishes. So you can order a lot of different things and you know, get a really good sense of different flavors and stuff. So I had an amazing time.
Oh, it was great.
Delicious food. I had two lamb chops.
We had lamb chops. We had basically steak tartare, grilled octopus. Oh, that was so phenomenal.
It was delicious.
And then falafel and big German beers, because you know you're at a Turkish restaurant, so why not have a German beer?
And it's true. It was delicious. And then Trish finally, you know, navigated her way through DC. She took the DC Metro.
I did.
Yeah.
Proud of you, public transit.
What?
Did it slide all the way in you?
You know what's crazy about the Metro? Is you're coming up from on DuPont Circle Square? Square? Am I saying that wrong?
Square.
DuPont,
square,
square. Well, it's DuPont Circle.
DuPont Circle, yeah. So you're coming out of the station, and it's literally like you are riding this escalator up a cliff.
Yeah.
It's so long, and it's so deep underground, and you don't realize how deep underground you are, and you're coming up, and you're like, oh my God, I literally thought I was going to fall backwards the whole time.
And if you fall down that escalator, girl,
you ain't getting
you
back.
You ain't coming back up, yeah.
Your Pride weekend is over. But you take that glitter to the hospital, honey, because you've got to get fixed.
I'm still fucking pulling glitter off me right now.
Oh, yeah, we'll be pulling glitter off for weeks. Yeah.
Thanks, Glenn. So Glenn, who we've had on the show, we've had on the show before, also met us at Agora and sat and had a couple of drinks with us and even went over. You know, he went with us to the other bars. We tried to get into number 9. Holy shit.
The bars were packed, but what do you expect?
You couldn't fit a soul in number 9, which is one of the local gay establishments. So we ended up trying to get into a trade, but halfway through we saw like a little rinky-dink bar that nobody was going into.
And let me just talk about this rinky-dink bar. Like,
there was a reason nobody was going into that bar. But we went in there anyway.
I have never in my life...
It's right next door to number 9, by the way.
Waited that long for a drink. And I still tipped the bartender very well. But I literally think I was standing there for 15 minutes, if not 20.
Bad. That it sucks. Was bad.
And I mean, like, we would have probably just left, right?
Yeah.
But everything was packed. But the biggest problem was that bar that she was working, even if she was doing service bar on top of that, she should have addressed me. You know, 5 minutes maybe.
I'll be right with you.
Yeah.
Or say, acknowledge you as a bartender or waiter, you acknowledge the new customers coming up to you.
Right. Like you have a list of drinks that you have in your head. Fine. Great. But it should not take you 15 to 20 minutes to get through that list and at least acknowledge me. Mm-hmm. That was just absolutely ridiculous. And as Chris said, he would manhandle that bar.
You know, I think it was called Cockies or Cookie.
I don't know.
I'm going to find it. You know, most of the stuff is on P Street, as in P as in the letter P.
Which we could not fucking find to save our lives yesterday, walking around. And we literally walked around in the circle. I forgot we don't have compression today. I don't want to get too loud. We literally walked down around in a circle searching for this bar.
I'm just going to type in number 9, right?
Googling.
Yeah. On maps. Why not?
Well, while he's doing that, we could talk about our signature cocktail today, since we're we are talking about bars today. Since we're in DC, we're doing the Washington Apple.
Yes, queen.
Yes, indeedy.
It can be a shot or a drink.
Indeed it can. We're doing it served on the rocks. Consists of 1 1/4 ounce Crown Royal, nice Canadian whiskey, 1/4 ounce of apple schnapps, and 1.5 ounces cranberry juice. Shake it up. Like Trish said, serve it as a cocktail, or you can serve it as a shot. It's very good, and that's your DC cocktail of the week.
Yeah, and it's actually, you know, pretty cool because I like a nice, smooth whiskey. Mm. And Crown Royale is there's a reason why they call it Crown Royale.
So. Well, I'll tell you, if you're shooting, I don't mind doing shots of Crown, but those are rough.
Yeah.
If you were doing shots of Crown, uh-huh. That's rough.
Well, I would imagine it would be. So anyway, the name of the bar, Stoney's on P.
Stoney's. Not Cocky's.
Not Cocky's at all.
Not Cocky's. It's Stoney's on P. And yeah, the service was just horrible. And then here's the thing.
Tally it up.
Thank you, baby. We asked for beers, and they came out in cups.
But they came out in
plastic, like little
cups. Like Chuck E. Cheese cups, like you would get with your fucking pizza.
And I'm like, all right. So I looked at the guy and I said, by any chance, would you happen to have beer glasses? And he looks at it. He goes like, well, they're not washed yet. And we're serving them in plastic cups today. And I'm like, okay. So we ordered another beer, and the next round of beer came out in glass cups. Or in glass glasses. And I'm like, all right, well, didn't you just say that, you know, you didn't want to serve us in glasses, and that's why you gave us the plastic cups. And I'm like, okay, well, what the hell is up with that? Yeah, the service was just horrible. So anyway.
At least put in a 16-ounce solo cup. Like, you know, not like you said, it literally looked like something you get out of a kid would get out of a bowling alley.
Or like those Happy Meal like yeah, plastic cups
exactly.
That you get.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that comes with like a little handle and you can then take it trick-or-treating with you. That kind of cup.
Exactly.
It was just horrible. Anyway, a horrible experience, and we need to move on.
I just want to say something because we're talking about Crown being smooth. It just reminded me of my first legal drink, like when I actually turned 21. I was looking up like trying to figure out what I wanted to be my first legal official shot. And
emphasis on actually turned 21. Yeah. Which means that he just admitted that he used to get hammered before he was 21.
I never said hammered. Granted, yes. But I never went that route.
If it's any indication on how you get nowadays, trust me, you got hammered.
Well, I'm doing this as a public service announcement, so no one tries this. Because I don't know what was wrong in my fucking head to think that this might have been good. It was Crown Royal with a teaspoon of A1 steak sauce.
What the hell is that?
Steak sauce, like sauce you dip meat in.
Oh, no, I know.
And you put it in the shot.
And you put that in the shot.
I don't know why I thought it would be like smoky and...
Isn't that when they do the clam one where they put the oyster one?
Oyster shooters?
Oh, oyster shooters. Yeah, but those are amazing.
Yeah,
like
those
a Bloody
are really
Mary,
good.
Bloody even, Mary with an oyster.
What's the, like a bloody asshole or... All right, it's
we all know what a bloody asshole is, and after this weekend, let's be honest, we all know what a bloody asshole is.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, don't do that shot. Let's move on from that.
Yeah, can I just say one quick thing?
Sure.
I just want to say to our listeners, the four of them, love you all very much, but I was not here last week, and thank you guys. The show was really great. I finally got to hear it, but I also want to say fuck you. Fuck you. And fuck you, Dave Hartman, because I'm not in the room, and all you bitches do is burn me.
And ignore your phone calls.
Literally ignored my fucking phone call. How rude.
We were listening back to the show on the way up here, and Trish was just like, oh! The whole time, waking up out of a sleep, like she was sleeping, and she would hear insult to wake her right up.
She'll be fine. No, and, you know, but we had a good time, and we missed you on the show, and so, you know, that's all I got to say about
that. Easily replaceable is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, pretty much. So why don't we move on? You know, we do have some stories that we need to cover, and we've got, we decided as a group to do something really special as a result of the anniversary of Club Pulse's, you know, massacre that occurred, and we wanted to do something nice to close that out. So we're going to have something very special for you guys later. But now let's go to a story reported by my new favorite website, unicornbooty.com.
It's the way you do a little shimmy.
Yeah, you have to. I freaking love this website. So anyway.
Guys, you know, we didn't talk about the march that we went on today at all.
Oh, we're going to get there.
Okay. I'm sorry. Get there. So unicornbooty.com.
So unicornbooty.com. God.
It's the way he says it. Unicornbooty.com.
It's like, yeah, it's like unicornbooty.com. Okay. So, all right. So they report a lot of...
I think we need to start a segment where every week Tom has a unicornbooty.com. And so, unicornbooty.com corner with Tommy.
Well, this is the second consecutive week now, yeah, so it's becoming a thing.
It's becoming a thing. So our story for unicornbooty.com, unicorn.
I can't.
I love it. All right, so listen. Nick Jonas, right? We all know who he is. He's the youngest of the Jonas brothers, or the trio.
The Jonas.
And has since turned into a hun starting. Okay, this is what they're writing. I'm actually quoting the story from unicornbooty.com. He's starring in DirecTV's mixed martial arts drama called Kingdom. And in the show, Jonas plays Nate Kalina, a somewhat closeted fighter who shares a kiss with his love interest, Will, in the recent season 3 premiere. And so I went and I watched like the trailer, and I'm looking at some of the pictures and stuff. This seems pretty hot. And how come is this fucking shit is in season 3 and I'm only finding out about it now?
What's...
See, that's why I knew we talked about this before.
It's called...
Kingdom?
Kingdom.
Mm-hmm. I don't even know the show.
Yeah, it's apparently it's on season 3. So in the season 3 premiere is when he kisses this kid, or this guy, Will.
Didn't Nick Jonas, was Nick Jonas the one that was in Scream Queens too? The TV show?
I know what you're talking about, but like, did he have like a cameo in it? I don't think he was supposed to be a character. I never watched it, but I saw the previews.
I feel like he was, and he played a gay guy. No, I don't know.
The gay guy from the...
Musical. I'm a fact check. You guys continue.
Go on unicornbooty.com.
Be nice now.
www.unicornbooty.com.
Yes, queen.
Oh my God, we're going to need to get sponsored by them now. Like, seriously. So anyway, so I thought it was a fascinating story because, you know, he's always been seen as a very, very sexy young man. And, you know, he's very big in the... He's a heartthrob pretty much in the gay community. Oh my God, every gay man just looks at that boy and just be like, ugh. I wish I could be his pillow or his underwear or his bed or his sheets or whatever it is that he just, you know, explodes on. I just want to be that sheet. But anyway, he's a very sexy man. And so now he's playing this supposedly in the process of coming out gay character on this show, Kingdom. And I'm going to have to probably check it out. I saw the previews, like I said, and I liked what I saw. So that's that.
I was wrong.
Okay.
It was the guy from Twilight.
Robert Pattinson.
Taylor Lane.
Yeah, the other one.
Oh, Lautner. Not Latte.
No. Ryan Latte.
We had a latte this morning. It was so good.
Ryan Latte and Waffle House Kim.
We saw the Waffle House coming down. We were like, oh my God, we should wear like those sweaters and just walk in, sit down and have waffles.
That's how you know when you're driving south. Yeah. When Denny's signs go away and Waffle House ones appear.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, Tommy,
yes.
Can you tell me about your recent obsession with Chick-fil-A? Not Chick-fil-A.
Ah,
we hate Chick-fil-A.
We do hate Chick-fil-A. That's on Popeyes. The list of places to boycott.
All right, so I explained this last week. So
oh.
I went to Popeyes. Yeah, see, she wasn't listening.
She wasn't here.
Mm. So I went to Popeyes. I went to Popeyes like 3 times in the past week and a half.
That's stuff that you should never admit out loud.
But I did. It was delicious. And on our way down, we stopped at Popeyes and I had chicken too. Just saying that at a rest stop. So I went the first time and I said, you know what? I think I want some Popeyes chicken. I went and I ordered a 3-piece, but no biscuit. And I just wanted 3 breasts. And I sat there with, Popeyes iced tea. And what?
I thought you'd be talking about sauce, and you're like assuming that we would think that you would have a iced tea.
No, an iced tea, and then I asked for the sweet hot sauce. It's like a hot, sweet and chili, sweet and whatever, sweet and sassy. And so I sat down, and I started eating one of them, and by the time I got to my last breast, it was just split open, just sitting there, just like destroyed. And I'm like, I wish I could find a man that could destroy me the way I destroy this chicken. And so I put that on Facebook, and it really got like a really good response. And people were just going nuts over my posts. Everybody's dying and laughing and sending me private messages like, really, you want chicken? I'll get you chicken. I'll bring you chicken. And then on top of that, I'll give you a lay. And I'm like, oh, my God. It's like I'm even getting like propositions to get some ass all from this comment on chicken.
The reason I bring this up is because after that post, there were a slew of other posts about Popeyes.
There was 4 in total.
4.
The next one said, until I find the man that can destroy me like I destroy the chicken, there's Popeyes.
And then
the next one was a picture of a model sucking her lip. And I said, this is how I look when I'm staring at the guy putting my chicken into the box at Popeye's counter.
Okay.
And then the last one was when we went on the rest stop and I'm standing in front of the Popeye's sign.
So a couple people came up to me privately and said, Is Popeye sponsoring Gay Talk 2.0? Because he'd been blogging it so much, and I was like,
that's
no.
Hilarious.
But before people started coming up to me, I commented on something that Tommy posted about Popeye's, and I was like, are you getting paid for this? Yeah.
No, I'm not. I'm not getting paid to publicly endorse Popeye's, but those who have had Popeye's chicken, I can tell you it is the shit.
It is good.
It is good chicken. It's greasy as fuck, but you know what?
It's worth the three pimples you'll wake up with.
Double the pleasure, man. You get a good going in and good going out. That's all I got to say.
Speaking of good going in, bad going out, let's talk about the fact that I was walking around D.C. today, and I was like, I'm doing something wrong because these men, their bodies on point. What the fuck? Yeah. I was like, I was body shaming myself just looking around. I'm like, this is a horrible place. It's like I came back to the hotel, I looked in the mirror, and all I saw was the back of my head. My reflection doesn't even want to look at me.
Honey, if you think that's bad, imagine how I feel.
We were walking around. Tom's like, you got to take your glasses off every now and then. You don't want to get the raccoon eyes. Uh-huh. Trish pulls them off. I'm like,
put them back
maybe
on.
You should go ahead and put those back on.
Honey, them bags, that was like a combination of Gucci and Prada. It was bad.
That's right. You're pretty,
but we love you, though. So anyway, let's talk about the march before we move into our latest story, because, you know, we did have a...
It's kind of why we're here.
Exactly.
We didn't drive here to go to a hotel room and record the show.
No. It was an amazing experience. Okay, Trish, why don't you tell us a story of what happened this morning?
Like trying to get out of here?
Uh-huh. Just waking up, period.
Okay, well, we're planning to get up at 8:30 because it started at 10. Chris's alarm went off at 8:30, and I was like, turn that motherfucking thing off.
Oh, yeah. Yes, we shared a bed.
And
there was no cuddling.
He touched it a little bit.
Go on.
And then finally, it was like maybe 8:45, 9 o'clock. Tom comes and jumps in between me and Chris.
I know.
And wakes us up like, officially, I have to get up and get out of bed. And then Chris goes down and gets coffee for us.
I did. I got coffee
and
breakfast.
Fighting us. He fought us.
I did
to
not
get out
fight.
Of this hotel.
I feel like I'm remembering the morning very differently than you are. And I feel like you've created this scenario in your head, Tommy.
Yeah.
That may or may not have happened.
Because I'm seeing it more Trish's way, that it was like kind of a nice wake up.
Chris went down. He's like, I'm going to get everybody coffee. What do you guys want? Does anybody want food?
And I offered food because I have to be awake and move around. I can't poop right
he
when I wake up.
Physical.
But I didn't want to take that on the march.
He was physical, and you want to know why? I know he was physical because he's got an infatuation with my movies, and he kept hitting them. And I'm like, what the hell
that
is your problem?
That ain't fighting words when I'm smacking your movies. That's playful.
I was like, this bitch.
So I smacked them titties and got some coffee, fed me and Trish.
Tomzilla.
Yeah, Tomzilla. So keep going.
Yeah, no, and then we finally got out, we were already late for the march.
So we got an Uber.
Which I wasn't necessarily really worried about being late for the march.
Yeah, the thing was huge.
Yeah, it was massive. And we called an Uber, and Chris was like, well, Gay Talk came to D.C. We missed the Pride Parade. We're late for the march. Trying to get an Uber. And then the Uber came.
So the
and
Uber
then Tommy
came.
Goes.
But wait. So this little Chinese lady, she was so cute. She was adorable. I loved her. She was great. And so we're driving, and I'm like,
she
all right, listen.
For us the whole time.
We have to go like super fast. You need to get us there because we're late. And like she's trying to like nonchalantly go through traffic at a glacial pace, pretty much.
And you know how that thrills me.
I hate it. So last night, when we were coming back from the bars to the hotel
at like 2 in the morning,
we got into an Uber with this guy who, I swear to God, thought he was a rad racer.
He was driving a Nissan Altima, and I sit down, and everybody gets in the car, and he just takes off. He's like, I have turbo in my car. I was like, oh, okay. He's like, I rebuilt the engine. I'm like, all right, literally.
We were whizzing and flying through streets in Washington, D.C. And finally, we get to the hotel. So anyway, on our way down to the march, I look at the guys and I'm like, you know what? We need that driver last night.
Meanwhile, we have an Uber driver driving
so
us.
Awkward. Yeah.
Chris is in front. He's just like,
And I'm like, oh, no, but she's
great. But you're great. Yeah.
You're great. But, you know, we need to get to the march, and you're, like, literally
pretty
going, like 2 miles
lady,
an hour.
You suck. We want someone else, is what Tom was saying.
No, like, I was just awkward. Saying go faster.
I just kept complimenting her little grandma and grandpa figurines in her shot glasses.
And she's like, hey, okay.
Okay, let's get away from this
anyway,
Uber driver.
We got there.
Yeah,
in,
we did.
Pretty much in time, too.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
It was really...
It had not started, and there was music.
Well, I think what actually happened is it had started,
yeah.
And that section that we were at was the tail end, mm-hmm. where it said resistance, where they were literally waiting to go, mm-hmm. because that would symbolize the end of the parade. I think that's
yeah,
what
I think it, by what it looks like as the march went on, it was like almost separated into different groups.
Mm-hmm.
No, but it was such an amazing experience. And
there were so many people and so many people of different races, families, babies,
yep.
people pushing around their kids in strollers. And I was just like, this is beautiful to see all of these people standing up as a family and heterosexual families.
Yeah.
For this cause and just coming together. And everybody was just full of life and full of energy.
And it was so peaceful.
Yes. Yeah.
It was so peaceful. There wasn't an ounce of anger, animosity, anything. We didn't see any, which I was kind of surprised, but I didn't see any protesters or anything like that. It was such a peaceful, accepting, loving group. You know, if you accidentally bumped into someone, people were basically racing to see who could apologize first.
Yeah.
You know, it was just the most kind group of people to be surrounded with, and so many of them.
It was like being in Canada.
It was like being in Canada.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, sorry.
I cannot do a Canadian
no, you
accent.
Can't.
We found that out last night.
Yeah. It was like an Irish accent you did or something.
She's literally horrible
sorry.
At it.
Sorry.
But that's okay. She's forgiven.
That's right. She's pretty.
But yeah, no, and it was, I thought there were some really funny signs.
Those are the best.
There was one. So obviously you guys had the conversation last week about Kathy Griffin, and I didn't get to chime in on that, and I'm not going to bring that up again.
Good.
However, there was a sign that was like a Hillary, I'm with her, but it was Kathy Griffin's face. So of course I got a picture with Tommy and this guy, and a lot of people were taking pictures with that guy. And then you saw one too.
Which one?
The
Justin
Trudeau
one?
Yeah.
It's like, Dear Canada, can we borrow your prime minister, please? I was like, I need to get a picture with that guy.
There was so many things, and we walked so much, and we saw so many like beautiful
Wonder
landmarks.
Wonder Woman beating up
Donald
Trump.
Yeah.
I'd have to check out that page.
One on my Facebook.
Perfect.
But I'll put it on the Gay Talk page, too.
I'm walking by those two, and the guy playing Trump goes, thank you for coming to my mock. Well, I can't do accents.
I was like, he's going to try.
I'm just going to say it. If somebody wants to be Trump, they can be Trump. He goes, thank you for coming to my march. And I lost it. I'm like, Trump is so stupid. He thinks that this quality march is for him. And obviously it wasn't really him, but it was like so perfect because that's how I see him. He's just
exactly.
So fucking dumb.
Pretty much. It's horrible.
I don't even see like Trump's face when I picture him. All I picture is the scrunched up Alec Baldwin face. And that's like what this guy's like, thanks for coming to my rally. Like, that's exactly how I see it. It was so much freaking fun. And moving.
It's just
and like you said, to walk past all the beautiful landmarks that you never get to really see in person, but you hear about it and you see on TV and, you know, walking by. We drove by the... We're getting comfy. She's curled up on the couch in those undies.
I am. My balls are free balling at this point.
Lovely. Keep them closed. It was, you know, really impactful. When we first got to the city, you know, we drove past or close to the Supreme Court. We drove past the Capitol. Today we walked right by the front gates of
the White House.
And standing in front of there, I had the most solemn, humbling moment. Just standing there holding the rainbow flag, just staring at the White House was the most.
They had these two officers or whatever they were on top of the actual roof of the White House staring down at the crowd in binoculars. I was like this, a little like middle finger out, like, fuck you. Seriously. I was like, you want to sit here and look at us and just whatever.
They probably do that all the time, but I know what you mean. I mean, yeah. It's probably just a safety thing. I heard people behind me like, do they, I can't see, do they have guns? I'm like, trust me, honey, you're not going to see the snipers. Like, they're there.
They're there.
They're there, but you won't see them.
But overall, it was an amazing experience. I can honestly say that 20 years from now, when someone says, hey, remember the last time they had this march? I'll be like, yeah, I was there. You know?
Yeah.
When we look back and see how much further we've gone with our causes and our community, we're going to look back and say, hey, we were there.
And your grandkids are going to be like, Grandpa, how old were you then?
Who's grandkids?
Yours.
Oh, hell, motherfucking no.
20 years ago, how old were
you,
Grandpa?
Maybe my brother's grandkids. And, you know, like, yeah.
I was like, no one's catching on to that one.
No.
Nope, not happening.
I know what you're trying to do. So,
oh, I almost found out Tommy's age yesterday when we went to the liquor store.
Okay.
And they asked for our IDs, but they only read my date of birth out loud. I was like the closest I've ever been to finding out his actual age.
Yeah, no, good luck.
It was so close.
No, and then, you know, oh, another thing I needed to talk about before we move forward was, you know, I needed to make a correction on something that we reported last week. So last week I had given out a little bit of misinformation regarding the march that took place the last time. I had said that the march took place in 1995, and that was not correct. The actual march took place in 1993. So I wanted to throw that out there because it was the last time that we had a significant march that came down to D.C. that had a very, very, very impactful, you know, showing. And a lot of people don't realize this actually happened April 25th of 1993. And Upworthy reported that by some estimates, the March on Washington, D.C. for lesbian, gay, and bi equal rights and liberations was one of the most largest political rallies in U.S. history. The exact crowd sizes are difficult to nail down, but many believe that the march attracted somewhere between 300,000 to 800,000 supporters from across the country and the world.
That's incredible.
So
I want to wait to hear the numbers from.
I am ecstatically waiting. I really do want to hear.
Because there was a lot of people that were there today.
Were.
A lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there were.
And a lot of people in heels.
I don't know how they did that.
Even Glenn actually had these Lady Gaga heels that he was wearing. And he was like, by the end of the night, he got down to, you know, where the bars were. He was like, I can't wear these anymore. I got to put my sneakers on. So he pulled those sneakers out and popped them on and said, oh, relief.
I could never
It was amazing.
Do that.
You know,
I could never do that.
Yeah. I've always wanted to be able to wear heels, but no.
One of these days. So, Chris, tell us about your story.
Oh, caught me off guard. Okay.
As always.
So, BBC News was reporting that Abercrombie & Fitch is under fire. The clothing brand Abercrombie & Fitch has attracted online backlash with a tweet seen by many as implying gay pride is not just for gay people. The tweet, which is now deleted, read, quote, "The pride community is everybody, not just LGBT people." And that was Kayla, the merchandiser. June is being celebrated as Pride Month around the world with parades in Los Angeles, Athens, and Rome, among others. The aim is to celebrate the gay community and the fight for LGBT rights. The tweet was meant to promote Abercrombie's limited edition tie-up with the Trevor Project, which we have talked about in the show before, a free suicide prevention hotline for young LGBTQ people. Twitter critic Zeus Tipato compares the brand's behavior to opponents of the Black Lives Matter movement who dismiss evidence of racial inequality with the slogans "All Lives Matter." And he said, quote, "LGBTQ just got the All Lives Matter treatment," end quote. That's something I want to talk about. I want to see what you guys think, because that can go one of two ways. By them saying in the tweet, "The pride community is everybody, not just LGBTQ people," that sounds like a sense of inclusiveness and sense of community, the celebration of it.
That is the entire the LGBTQ people is the entire pride community.
It encompasses everybody.
What now, she's saying is,
if she said something along the lines, okay, well, you also have allies and you also have straight people that support your cause, then that would be a different story, but that's not what she said. So no, the LGBTQ people is the entire pride community. And no, the pride community is not everyone, because not everyone supports our cause. Not everyone is for what we are. And this is very evident from the asshole that we have in the White House and his other idiots that follow him around and ruin the world. So no, it is not.
Trish?
Dear Kayla.
Yeah, Kayla. Fuck her.
Merchandiser from Abercrombie & Fitch.
Stick to
first,
what you know.
I think you need to realize where pride came from. Pride, gay pride, marches came from, Pride Month came from, and why it's so important to the LGBTQ plus community. Obviously, if that does not encompass all of your people, I'm sorry, but it encompasses all of the people in our community. What you need to know is that it came from riots, and it came from us pushing back for equality and just the ability to live out loud and live our lives freely and safe. And it has turned into an event, a month-long event to celebrate where we've come and what we've achieved and who we've become. And it's a moment every year that we get to look back and say, hey, we can be happy. We are becoming equals with everybody. You know, it's not about... it's like the story that I'm going to bring up, but like these people that think that we're not including everybody, they're wrong. Are you an ally? Then you're included. Mm. Are you a lesbian? Then you're included. Are you gay? Are you bi? Are you transgender? Are you questioning? You're included. Then there's plus. Like, everybody is included, and we want to include everybody. So it doesn't, you don't need to bring light to it. What it is specifically, though, it is for people in the sexual identifying communities.
Now, let me ask you, was this on Twitter?
Yes.
I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt.
It's been removed.
So I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt. Maybe she couldn't finish her thought because, you know, you're only like limited to 136 characters.
Well, I read the quote, and it's nowhere near that amount of characters.
So, but what I'm trying to get to here is that by saying that, you know, Pride shouldn't be just for the LGBTQ community, that it should be for everyone, you're...
But that's not what you said.
Read it again.
The Pride community is everybody, mm-hmm. not just the LGBTQ people.
Correct.
Okay, so it is the LGBTQ people, just them, because... By saying that the Pride community is everyone and not just the LGBTQ plus people, you are literally dismissing all of our struggles since way back when that we had to fight for to get just the amount of rights that we have today. It is no different than, you know, saying all lives matter to a group of protesters right. that are from the Black Lives Matter movement. Right, you're dismissing their struggles because you don't know.
Right. So, but from the very small amount of words that's there, that's why it's kind of hard to take it apart. I don't think she meant anything disrespectful one bit. I thought she meant to say that we're inclusive because, like you said, today we're marching and there are a mother, father with their children.
Exactly.
They are marching and they're not gay, but they feel like part of the community.
She probably didn't mean anything negative about it, but the way she worded it, she should get flack for it because you need to learn that words matter, and the way you format your thoughts or your sentences or whatever, it matters because that's how it comes off and people take it and receive it.
Well, I mean, I agree with you completely there, but like the words matter. So it's so wishy-washy these days because, you know, our head of state, when he reaches for that phone, goes right to Twitter.
But as an American individual, I will not hold myself to his standard. I will always hold myself to a higher standard.
Exactly. Agreed.
Yeah, good. Words matter. Mm-hmm. Kathy Griffin learned that lesson.
Words do matter. And it's one, I thought that would be a good conversation one. That's why I wanted to bring that because I didn't really.
She should say, you know, if the tweet read, the LGBTQ community is everybody. Celebrate Pride. You know, something like that. Because it is everybody, and we want to encompass everybody. Mm-hmm. But it is specifically and has always been created and grown from something that this community...
I still feel, though, that the LGBT community is the LGBTQ plus community. If we have allies that want to join us in our cause, fine, fantastic, and beautiful. But they still don't know what our struggles are.
But the Pride community is what she was talking about. That's what I just wanted to emphasize on. The Pride community. Not saying that everyone can be LGBT because you say you are.
Yeah, and it's like we talked about, I forget how many episodes ago, we talked about heterosexual pride. Somebody had tweeted something or said something about heterosexual pride, and I got really heated about it because... Sure, you can be prideful about your heterosexuality. That's completely on you. But what pride stands for has nothing. We are fighting for equal fucking rights. We were fighting to stay alive. We were fighting to stay alive, just trying to get off the streets when our families kicked us out of our fucking homes. Mm. Like, pride stemmed from something that was so horrible. Now it's something that's so beautiful, and it's for a specific community. And nobody, if you want to be a part of that community, be a part of our community. But nobody can take the beauty of what it's become away from us, in my opinion.
No, that's why I brought it up. I wanted to hear this stuff. I think it was a good topic. I like when you get a little heated.
Well, I mean, but it also serves to bring light into the next story that we're going to talk about that Nick had set up for us.
I think we got our segues back.
I know.
Trish.
So speaking about that, obviously, you know, while the... Okay, so I'm going to try this all over again because I'm like, ba 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 ba. All right, so
you
Philly,
missed your button time.
Philly petitions to add black and brown stripes to the LGBTQ pride flag. Now, this article I got was written by Justin Moran from The Advocate, and I know that a lot of people don't necessarily favor them very much, but I love it, The Advocate. And so it reads, while the six-striped rainbow flag has become a symbol of inclusivity throughout the LGBTQ community, people of color within the umbrella have historically been marginalized and at times intentionally ignored during the fight for equality. A new campaign launched by Philadelphia is pushing to add two new stripes to Gilbert Baker's design, black and brown, as a way to celebrate non-white LGBTQ members. You know, that's fine. I think that Philly, if you want to do that, do it. It's up to you. But I think adding those, I really don't like the idea of adding it.
I don't either. You know, I see, to me, the rainbow in its natural form in nature has always reflected something that's very universal. It's very, the rainbow is a symbol of love. It's a symbol of happiness. It's a symbol of inclusivity because that's what it represents naturally. When you see a rainbow, you see those colors naturally. And I think that Gilbert, when he created the symbol for the LGBT community, you know, really captured the essence of being inclusive for all. That included black people, it included Asian people, it included men, women, it included lesbians, transsexuals, transgender, you know, anything that you wanted to be in our community was represented in that flag. And I understand. I don't understand the struggles of the black community. I can't say that I do. But, you know, to add a color just to make yourself much more significant in a community where the flag already includes you, to me, doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. I think it's an insult to Gilbert, you know, Gilbert Baker's design, because, I mean, this is such an iconic design at this point. You know, it doesn't need to be changed to know that this is a symbol of our entire community.
Yeah. Our community, I'm sorry.
No, please.
Our community as a whole is built on including everybody. Yeah, I'm sure that there were issues, and there will always be issues individually and within communities, and those issues will only be fixed by having the conversations that you need to have to understand one another and understand one another's struggles. They're not going to be fixed by adding brown and black to the flag. And I get where they're coming from. I get what they want to do, but the. Just like I've been saying, LGBTQ plus, inclusive of everybody. We don't label anybody in LGBTQ plus by race, by religion, by ethnicity. I said race, religion, whatever. But we don't label people we don't marginalize people by their race or their religion or whatnot. We talk about their sexuality and who they and their being. Mm. So why do we have to then bring? Why do they feel like we are not including them as a people? You know what I mean? And why this matters so much to them?
Listen, there is no doubt. There is absolutely no doubt and no denying in any way, shape, or form that systemic racism and marginalization of the black community exists.
Oh, yeah.
You see it in dating. You see it in our schools. You see it in our public spaces. It exists. But this is not going to fix it.
Actually, it's going to make it worse.
We're adding more labels. We keep adding labels.
Because when you go back to when Baker designed this, you know, it's been, it was the first symbol of hope and togetherness for the LGBT community. And changing an icon or flags happens. Like, that's not, you know, that changes with time, significance and stuff like that. I mean, you know, we added many stars to our flag alone. The thing that I don't like about this is it brings race into it. It actually brings race into it because there's the rainbow. There are no green people, blue people, purple, red, yellow. There are this doesn't have to do with race. This has to do with
inclusivity.
Exactly. We don't, the second you put black and brown on there, it has to do directly with a race.
Yeah, and if we put black and brown on there,
then you need to put
a white stripe. And you need to reach out to other communities and ask them if they want their color represented as well.
Exactly. So I think the worst thing they can do is add that, because then it brings race into it. Mm-hmm. And that symbol directly gets associated with race at that point.
Now, that being said, I say that, you know, to the city of Philadelphia, if these two colors being added to your flag adds a sense of, you know, helps in any way mend the divide or the issues that exist within these communities in your area, by all means do it. I'm not opposed to it. I'll just, you know, I don't expect that I'm going to get a flag that I would want to see these two colors on there, because I don't identify that symbol with what you're trying to do, because I thought all along that everyone was included anyway. Mm-hmm.
Right.
I guess is what I'm trying
to say.
Because
race had nothing to do with it.
So although these are our opinions, by all means, if this is what's going to help the problem that you currently have within that community, do it.
Which is why I always wondered, I bought this bracelet like 5 years ago, 4 years ago when I was in Montreal, and it has a civility in French on it, and it's the rainbow, but it does have a black stripe on it. Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. But is it really a rainbow? Because there's other colors too. You've got like
Roy G. Biv.
Interesting.
You know, I want to say
one more. It's a
touchy
subject.
I want to say one more thing about this, because I think we talked about this last night. I think that white homosexuals, I don't want to say have it easier in any way, but
they do.
In a way, I agree. I think,
or they face less discrimination. A better way to put it.
But beyond that, I think African American families and Hispanic families and Asian cultures, not all Asian cultures, but a good portion of them, are so conservative, and coming out to your family in those races is a lot harder, I think, than, or can be a lot more difficult
in those cultures. A lot of them are very tight when it comes to family. Yeah, Latino, Indian, Middle Eastern, they're very tight. Greek, like you said, they're very conservative, but they're very tight-knit with family. Mm-hmm. So they always want to keep the family going. Yeah. So one, if they find out something's not traditional, that's a turnoff immediately for them. But then if they find out that maybe they're not going to be able to produce another family member, because they're not going, a man is not going to be with a woman and have maybe a child. Those are things
but
that
see,
I think scare.
Nowadays,
those
today, there's so many ways for you to have children. You
Correct.
Don't need to have sex with a woman to have children. So the notion that a parent could actually think that just because their child is gay, they're never going to be a father or a mother.
Oh, I know
to me
that
is
people
asinine.
Do think that. I know,
you know, they do, but that's ignorance.
People do think that, yeah,
but that's ignorance. So you know, I think,
you know, I'm just bringing that up because I think, you know, their struggle just is very valid, just as everybody else's is very valid. And then they have race on top of that they're dealing with. And I understand why they want it to be up front and center for everybody to see all the time. But I want to express that you've always been included and there's no need to
right.
add.
And look at the Muslim
Which
and
is what I've thought.
And I think what Chris said is so right. You're bringing race into something that race was never involved
exactly.
in.
Exactly. And that's why one
you know what my concern with this is? That, let's say, for example, one of these years we decide to do a show at Philly Pride, right? Mm-hmm. And we just bought, what, 3 flags? It cost us, what, $15 on the street? Beautiful flags, and we're waving them. And what if now we go to Philly and we're waving our regular, ordinary 6-color flag, and someone looks at us because we're not waving the right flag? you know, that has two more colors added to it in Philly.
Right.
Is that going to cause a further divide between people who believe that the flag should remain the way it is and those that need these two colors to feel included in the community?
Yeah.
I think that that possibly could cause an issue, especially when you're out in a public space, because one is waving one flag and the other one is waving the one they think is the appropriate flag.
That'll only become an issue if they officially change the LGBT flag to that and people keep the old one. Right. That'll be only if it's officially changed. If Philly passes it and they start flying flags of that with the extra two colors, nationally people won't be until it's official. I know what you're saying,
I don't know. It just opens up a really, really very, very weird space for the possibility of confrontation between those that believe that this is what it should be and those that don't.
Yeah, I've always, whenever I walk into an establishment or an area where there are gay flags hanging, something changes in me and my comfort level rises and I am so much more free with who I am. Yeah. And that's how I've always seen this symbol as. When it's visible and there, I'm comfortable and this is my community, this is my life.
Code for she becomes very gay.
But I feel like most people in the LGBTQ plus community feel that way. And that's why I think, why do you need to add this? Have you not looked at that flag your whole life and known that you're safe at this space?
Right, exactly. No, that's a very good point. I like that a lot because you're absolutely right. You know, obviously it's Pride weekend in DC, so there's a lot of rainbow out there. But even when we first got here, you know, it hadn't really sunken in yet. Like we had just driven 6 hours to get here and
she thought we were in New York.
We walk out of the hotel and I see all these flags and before I even thought, oh yeah, I'm in DC, it's Pride weekend, that sense of comfortness and security. And that, you know, you're amongst friends, that you really can feel that you're amongst friends is immediately there. And the one that catches my eye the most is there's a church in Chester, Connecticut, and they have a gay pride flag, the rainbow flag hanging out in front of the church. And when I see churches that are flying the gay flag, that is just such an incredible feeling of overall acceptance.
I think
and love.
The church in downtown New Haven.
There is one in New
church
Haven.
Church on
yes.
the Green yep. flies the LGBT flag as well.
I don't know I'm not saying it's not the one in the Green. I just say I don't know if it's
no,
the
it's,
one
it's
in the
the
Green.
One on the Green. It's there's two churches on the Green.
Right, that's why I wasn't sure
it's the one on the corner of Church. Wait, is it Church? That's Chapel Street and Temple. That one. So, all right. So, listen. I think we should move on. We've been
one more thing about
there it is.
One more
back.
Thing.
Okay.
About rainbows.
Rainbows.
New Haven, it's June. Light the Cube Bridge up in rainbow, motherfucker.
Did they not?
It has not been lit up in rainbow yet, and I'm pissed.
Because it did last year. I remember that.
But they did after. What they did is they lit it from Pulse until the end of the month.
Right.
Yeah. When Pulse happened, they lit it. And so I'm hoping that they light it
They might light it tomorrow.
On Monday. But
well, we should probably send them a message via Facebook to the city hall and see what they can do. I will tell you this
bridge, when they light it up,
they light it up rainbow, I'm filled
I almost
with
cried.
Joy.
Yeah,
there was this one point last year I was driving over that bridge, and it was rainbow, and it was summer, and it was beautiful out, and Obama was still president, and I was like. I live in an amazing world, a free, amazing world, and I can be this amazing gay man and continue my life. And there was just like this moment of like, fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah.
And, you know, big ups to the town of Brantford. Brantford actually took their city hall, their town hall is what they call it, because it's a town.
It's a town, yeah.
And another building, I believe, is a library.
The library.
And they actually lit it up in rainbow.
Yeah, they did that last, did they do that this year too?
They did it this year.
Yeah, they did it last year as well. The library was lit up after Pulse. When a lot of government buildings and public places were lighting to honor those that were killed at Pulse. So Brantford's stepping it up.
Meanwhile, Trump hasn't even acknowledged Pride.
I know. It's like National Park or like Outdoors Month when he wants to tear the National Park protections down.
Well, if that's not a...
Exactly. Someone go get that eagle that he was holding again. Hello. That thing will bite this time.
All right.
Well, I think that, you know, and speaking of Pulse and segues, we felt that, you know, we needed to do one last thing. There's no denying we're going to miss being able to learn about these folks that we dedicated episode after episode to week after week. And but we felt that we needed to go out one more time. And this time we're going to read the names, all 49 names of all 49 victims today. Today is, we're recording Sunday. As we said, you know, unfortunately, we are going to be in, on the Idiots Radio tomorrow, so we couldn't do our regular shows tomorrow, which is the one-year anniversary of the shootings at Club Pulse. So we decided we're going to do our show today, and we're going to honor them one last time and ring them out with Pulse and some of the music that you're familiar with. But we're going to start reading some names. So I'd like to start off, and then I'll have Chris and Nick join me in reading the 49 names for the victims of Club Pulse.
I just want to point out something. This is not a joke. We will do our best, Nick and I, to pronounce the names.
Yeah. So,
bear with us.
And I need to say this one more time because I didn't get to say it last week. Tom, you want to put a little love under this?
Yeah. Do we want to play it now for off?
Yeah, let's play it low. Well, we speak over it, and then we can replay it for the okay. for the break.
Sounds good.
Because you're not going to hear it for a while, so get your girl in now.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we would like to dedicate this episode to all 49 beautiful souls that we lost on June 12th of 2016. And we'll start off with Stanley Aldomovar III. He was 23 years old. Amanda Alviar, 25. Oscar A. Aracena Montero, 26. Rodolfo Ayala, he was 33. Alejandro Barrios Martinez, 21. Martin Benitez Torres, 33 years old. Jonathan Camuy Vega, 24. Angel Candelario Padro, 28. Simon A. Carrillo Fernandez, 31. Juan Chavez Martinez, 25. Luis D. Conde, 39. Frankie J. De Jesus Velasquez, 50. Juan R. Guerrero, 22 years old. Miguel Oronato, 30 years old. Javier Jorge Reyes, 40. Anthony L. Loriano Dizla, 25 years old. Jean C. Nieves Rodriguez, 27 years old. Joel Rayon Paniagua, 32 years old. Christopher J. Sanfeliz, 24 years old. Gilmari Rodriguez Sullivan, 24 years old. Xavier Serrano Rosado, 35.
Antonio D. Brown, he was 30. Daryl R. Burt II, he was 29. Corey J. Connell, 21. Tevin E. Crosby, 25. Bianca D. Drayton, 32. Mercedes M. Flores, 26. Peter O. Gonzalez Cruz, 22. Paul T. Henry, 41. Frank Hernandez, 27. Javier Jorge Reyes, 40. Eddie J. Justice, 30. Christopher A. Leonin, 32. Brenda L. Marquez McCool, 49. Jean C. Mendez Perez, 35.
Akira Monet Murray, 18. Kimberly Morris, 37. Luis O. Ocasio Capo, he was 20 years old. Geraldo A. Ortiz Jimenez, 25. Eric Ortiz Rivera, 36. Enrique Rios Jr., he was 25 years old. Juan Rivera Valesquez, 37. Gilberto Silva Menendez, 25 years old. Edward Sotomayor Jr., 34. Shane E. Tomlinson, 33. Leroy Valentin Fernandez, 25. Luis S. Vilma, he's 22. Luis D. Wilson Leon, 37. And Gerald A. Wright, 31.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, again, our condolences to the families, and may they all rest in peace. We're going to finish up Pulse by Melissa Etheridge. We're taking a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey!
Everybody's got a pulse. You say this is human. Your heartbeat versus mine. I'm enchained cause I'm choosing. Showing love for living life. I shouldn't have to leave where I stand. I shouldn't have to change who I am to count as a human. Feel my pulse. With your hand on my heart, you know it beats just as hard as yours. Feel my pulse. Oh, feel my pulse. Can't you see that I'm scarred? I'm just the same as you are. So just feel my pulse. Oh, I wish I could reach them. Strip away what separates. It's the same air we're breathing. Same tears run down our face. So I don't have to leave where I stand. And I don't have to change who I am to count as a human. Feel my pulse. With your hand on my heart, you know it beats just as hard as yours. Feel my pulse. See that I'm scarred, I'm just the same as you are, so just feel my pulse.
My name, it will be the same. I wanna, you can feel it now.
right. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, from the break. That was Pulse by Melissa Etheridge. One more time. I know that we said last week that it would be the last time to that we would most likely play the song, but
we lie a lot.
We do. Well, we don't lie. We just, kidding, you know, we I'm made kidding. A decision to change it up and to honor all of them all together, which, guys, thank you for helping me read all those names. That was amazing.
Yeah,
and,
no,
I can't hear you.
I need to get up on that mic.
Yes, you do. You might as well just rip it out.
I'm going to.
I'm taking it out. Bear with you us, know. Everyone.
Yeah, just mind.
Now I feel like a singer. I've got the mic in my hand.
Just pull the cord. Just make sure you don't like pull it out.
Yeah.
That was the other one.
We're going to hold the mics from now.
I said this and it happened, Nick.
Yep.
I think I may do the same, but then when I need to sort of kind of maneuver with all the stuff that we have set up here in the room.
Oh, girl, almost hit me in the head with this.
I'm sorry. I'm just trying to get out of the way.
Need some tefical.
I get it.
There's the I had the first cursive of the night.
I'm actually really glad, though, that we did do something to honor all the victims, because it was really, you know, I hate not being able to come to the show, but the hardest thing for me last week was the fact that it was our last angel and I couldn't be there.
It did really hurt Nick.
Yeah, I was pretty upset about it.
I feel some kind of way of the fact that we are not, that we can't continue to honor them. I mean, we can. Listen, as long as I live, I am going to continue to honor those 49 individuals that lost their lives at Club Pulse in the best way that I know how, talking about them and keeping their memory in there and the fact that they lived and the fact that they existed alive. Absolutely. And I think that we can do that for as long as the show exists. We'll always have a very fond place for angels and assholes in our lives. So, you know, and our listeners reached out to us and told us, you know, we feel the same way. So, thank you for letting us know. And thank you for taking that ride with us. It was an emotional ride for all of us.
And we love burning asshole Republicans.
Yeah, we definitely do.
It brings me actual joy.
Oh my God. So speaking of that though, what did your boyfriend say to you before you came to DC?
One of two things. One, do I have to be worried about Nick?
But that's not what he was going for. And I said, probably. But the other thing was, don't be letting all those Republicans suck your dick while you're out there.
So he said that to some guy when we were walking in the march earlier today. And then he said that to him, turned away and started walking away. And I just looked at the guy. I was like, thank God I'm not a Republican.
Hello. Crazy
dirty
people.
Girl. Dirty girl. No, we both got into bed last night and Trisha's like, what do you want to watch for a movie? And I just fell asleep. Yep. So there was no action.
I just need something on in the background when I sleep. It's weird.
It's okay. We understand. So you guys want
Trisha and a Republican.
Do you guys want another funny story? Well, it's not a funny story, but do you want another story from unicornbooty.com?
Unicornbooty.com doubling up.
It's unicornbooty.com.
I'm Gay Talk 2.0. So, all right. Unicornbooty.com reports.
So, unicornbooty.com.
It's like when you get to the end of it, you speed up and it starts to roll. Unicornbooty.com.
Unicornbooty.com. All right. So they report that Gays for Trump denied entry into the Charlotte Pride Parade. So Charlotte, North Carolina chapter of Gays for Trump, which may or may not be connected to the identical named homo nationalist organization that exists solely because of its founder, got rejected into the Charlotte Pride Parade on Sunday, August 27th, scheduled to happen on Sunday, August 27th, 2017. And the reason why they were denied was because of what they stand for. And here's what they put out as far as a statement. And this is amazing. And bear with me because we've been drinking and cursive may come out. So Charlotte Pride reserves the right to decline participation at our events to groups or organizations which do not reflect the mission, vision, and values of our organization. They continue on to say, in the past, we have made similar decisions to decline participation from other organizations espousing anti-LGBTQ religious or public policy stances. Charlotte Pride envisions a world in which LGBT people are affirmed, respected, and included in the full social and civic life of their local communities, free from fear or discrimination, rejection, or prejudice. Are you guys looking for that on the notes?
No, I was following along as you were saying it.
Okay,
I was
it's actually on the article.
I can't see it.
It's in the actual article itself, okay. So sorry about that.
Yeah, I didn't click on the article, so while I wasn't actively listening, I have no idea what he just said.
It was all amazing. Basically, you know, they just came back at them and said, no, we don't want you here, and we have a right to decline you, and this is why. And it just makes sense, and it's what they stand for.
Mm-hmm.
You know? In response to that, Talbert, that's the man who runs Deplorable, mm-hmm. is it deplorablepride.org? He told the press, quote, for a group of people to claim to want tolerance, acceptance, and give it to every single person you can imagine to give it to, for them to sit back and judge me for exercising my right as an American to choose my leader without judgment is hypocritical, end quote. He also says that he's planning on suing, but he's likely to lose such a lawsuit thanks to two U.S. Supreme Court decisions, Hurley versus Irish American Gay, Lesbian, and Bisexual Group of Boston, 1995, and the Boy Scouts of America versus Dale in 2000, remember that, both of which upheld the right of public marches and private groups not to include groups who impart a message that organizers do not want to be included. So he's going to, you know,
He may want to bring it and sue, but these organizations have a right to not include people in their marches that stand for everything they're against.
Exactly.
It's like saying to a pro-life group that they must be allowed to march in a, you know, women's
behind
right.
Pope.
Women's right group. You know, if you stand for abortion and you're having a parade, and then these anti-abortion people want to be on your parade and they don't stand for what you believe in, why should you allow them to do that? It's a recipe for disaster, because what you're doing is creating conflict when that's not the purpose of the parade.
Right, because at this point, they're not there to have a dialogue, to have an argument or anything. You know, everyone's entitled to their freedom of speech and to have their opinions and choose their leader without judgment. But at this point, you have a pride event. This is to show support for the mission, the purpose of why they're there. And if they're going to have someone who's going to do anything but fully comply and push that energy forward, then no, they shouldn't be part of that. That's not the stage for the debate.
I think there was something somewhere about gays for Trump marching in the Boston parade.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And that actually happened, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they marched in the Boston parade. And you know what?
But was that the Boston Pride? That was the St. Patrick's Day parade, wasn't it?
No, it was the Pride parade. Yeah.
They had problems with a gay float on the St. Patrick's Day parade. Mm-hmm. That's what the issue was in Boston. Sorry for the confusion. Continue, Trish.
I think there's something to that. Like, if as an American, you do have the right to choose who you vote for, but his administration does stand for everything that our community stands against, and why bring, because that literally having them there will only cause negative energy, and people right. get angry, and it's supposed to be about living pridefully and happy, and
it just doesn't make sense to me that, I mean, everyone is obviously entitled to their own political views, and obviously we definitely lean more toward the left. I probably lean a lot more toward the left than some of you guys.
He's a leftist.
But it surprises me so many of these gay people that are so behind Donald Trump, because I personally, like I said earlier, I don't think he's not the fuel of the anti-LGBT agenda. It's the people that he brought on. And Mike Pence is the person he chose. He chose this man to be his right-hand man, to be the second man in charge. And in 2015, he signed the religious freedom laws, the first in the nation in Indiana, which was allowing them to people to avoid giving marriage licenses to people. So it's like, how can you be gay and support someone that doesn't want to support your rights? It just, it blows my mind.
It happens, though. That's the sad part, you know?
I think they're supporting Trump is more about their conservative views, not about
right,
because obviously you can be passionate about other things besides your
sexuality
or your lifestyle. But when he's damning your lifestyle, or their administration is damning your lifestyle, and the decisions they are making are not only damning your lifestyle, but the world.
Right. I mean, because
what?
Sorry.
No,
you're right. I mean, Tom even mentioned a senator last week who's not going for re-election. She was a Republican who supported marriage equality.
Ross Letton.
Thank you.
And from Florida.
Also, and, you know, we learned the governor of Massachusetts, a Republican who is planning to keep up with the Paris Accord. You know, there are those moderate Republicans that, even if they, you know, they're not always going against the social aspects. And that's why I understand how some gays can be more toward the conservative side, because they're like the moderate conservatives.
But I think,
or they're the rich ones.
And this is a personal opinion of mine. I think that Ileana Ross Letton has an opinion on, and the fact that she supported the community has to do a lot with the fact that she had a transgender son. Mm-hmm. Has she not had a transgender son? I can speculate that most likely her views would lean more towards the far right.
I'm sure you're absolutely right. This definitely puts it in perspective for her. I'm going to try to. I had skimmed over articles that I didn't bring on for the show today, but I'm going to look into it and bring it on maybe for next week. The article was about how gay people are more and more being drafted, if you will, or influenced to join the alt-right. Like how these white supremacist groups, such as the KKK, are not the KKK though, but like other alt-right extremist groups are actually getting rising numbers of LGBT supporters to join their sides.
No, and
it's something I want to look into, and it has to do with like this the psychological aspect.
I think Dick is
works
involved
in their well. That's why I said I'm going to do
my... That was meant to be a joke.
I know, yes. I'm going to do my research as a good reporter, and I'll be bringing that to you guys.
Look at her,
week.
Our little very own Gay Talk correspondent. Mm-hmm. Yes. Speaking of correspondents...
Meanwhile...
In Canada!
Is it Canada?
Where were we going with this? I don't know. You were the one who passed it on to me.
Oh, no. Well, whose story is this? ABC hires a hunky out journalist.
Oh, that was my story.
Okay.
Well, but I was like, but that's not a meanwhile.
Okay. Know, well, that's so meanwhile in London. Go.
It's
in
so
London.
This isn't really a story. This is just a comment. I wanted to bring it up because, as I always talk about visibility, this is very visible. We have ABC hired a beautiful,
he's so sexy,
beautiful journalist as a foreign correspondent.
Awesome.
Yeah. He is, okay, so an ABC has hired BBC's reporter James Longman as the network's correspondent based in ABC's London's office. But the reason that this is so important is that he is a gay man.
Openly gay.
If you go to his Instagram account, it's clear that he's gay and beautiful.
Mm. But those abs.
But he'll be in the public eye constantly, and I just, you know, I love seeing things like that when we get pushed to the forefront. And not that he's going to be plugging his homosexuality all the time, but he's a gay man, and he's been given the opportunity to.
And if you look at his track record, I mean, he's reported from Beirut for the BBC for mm-hmm. 5 years. The 30-year-old journalist is also fluent in French and Arabic and was raised in London and Cairo.
And he has a deep understanding of the Middle East conflicts and the complex political issues that surround that region. So it's pretty interesting to have someone who is openly gay go and be a political correspondent to an area that typically condemns homosexuality mm-hmm. as a sin punishable by death.
Yeah. Well, he's going to, like Anderson Cooper mm-hmm. goes to all of these places where he could be.
Yeah, it's the same way.
Destroyed for his sexuality.
But I have a funny feeling that Anderson Cooper is such an icon in the United States of America, and although we know he's gay, that if they sent him into a country and where he knows he may be in danger, I think the United States of America takes special precautions to ensure his safety while he's there.
It's like code name Save Andy. Like
yeah.
Something going down.
I don't know.
Save Andy!
Although
let's not even talk about anything like that. I don't want to
love Anderson.
That may be true.
He's gone through enough. He lost Kathy Griffin.
Thank you. I love her anyway. Casualties. I'm with you, Kathy. I'm still with you, even though they don't agree with me. But anyway, no, but you know, I think that that probably was very true for the Obama administration, and where he always made sure that, you know, they looked out for their reporters. You know, there was one time in where one reporter was in Russia, and she was reporting and asked questions, and apparently reporters in that region of the world are not allowed to ask questions, especially women. Andrea Mitchell was asking a question, and someone came at her and put their hands on her and said, no. And
who was she asking?
I had to be some sort of official in Russia. And all of a sudden, a coalition of U.S. people that work with a group of reporters came at the guy and said, don't you ever touch her. That'll be the first and the last time you ever put your hands on one of our reporters. And to see that interaction, I was just like, holy shit, you know, this is real. Shit like this happens all the time.
Yeah. I mean, people get protection details all the time. So.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we have two big buff dudes standing outside our door right now.
yeah, but that's I don't know if that's a protection detail.
No.
They were just too loud.
They're waiting for Trish.
They're just waiting for Trish to be done.
You done recording yet, Cole?
Because, you know, she has her own room over there.
Mm-hmm.
She can go to town. So anyway, let's keep it moving because we do have to wrap up the show. We do have parties and festivities to get to. There's
Trish needs a nap.
And
she does need a nap.
She does. She's a little tired. So, I want to make two announcements really quick just to let everyone know. World Pride is currently happening or is going to be happening in Madrid, Spain this year, 2017.
Let's go. And
I wish I could.
I have a friend who lives there.
Let me tell you.
Saying his boyfriend's cute too.
Madrid is just absolutely amazing. So, it says here that the Pride event is literally almost like a week long thing. It starts June 23rd and it goes all the way through July 2nd. So basically in about 11 days, you'll be able to actually participate in that if you're going to be in the Madrid area. That was a mouthful. Now, that being said, there's another event that caught my eye. I saw a commercial for it, and I'm super excited because this one is in our very own backyard. So talking about World Pride is actually going to be held in New York City in 2019.
And was this reported by Unicorn Beauty?
No. So this one was reported by newnownext.com. The reporter, his name is Matthew Thoret, and he reported that the 50th anniversary of the Stonewall riots will be commemorated by New York City hosting.
He opened a fucking ad.
No, the video opens it on the page opens it on its own by hosting the World Pride for 2019. So it's kind of come to New York City. I'm super excited. I'm putting that shit on my calendar. Girls, we are going to get a room.
Make sure you find out what day the parade's on.
It should be Sunday.
It's going to be Sunday.
I hope it's Sunday.
It'd be like a fucking Tuesday.
No, but we'll keep an eye out for it. And if we get any more details, we'll certainly put it out there. But we're getting a room and we're going to literally like record our show right from Times Square. We're going to stay at the Marriott Marquis overlooking Times Square. And we're going to record our show. Watch.
I holla.
I'm going to get the room. Seriously.
So. Maybe we'll have one by then.
2019. You never know. Never know.
Purple card.
All right. So those were my two announcements. And I know we have a couple of more things before we go.
Segue into another event.
Oh, yes.
This event comes to us from one of our listeners, Amy. She emailed us earlier.
She did.
Chris is going to take it away.
Are we going to go for it?
Yeah.
We're going to say hi again to Amy. She's written to us before.
Yes, she has.
Hi, Amy. Hey, Amy. If you have a chance, visit unicornbooty.com.
That's how to get it. Unicornbooty.com.
I fucking love that name. Perfect website name. Why couldn't we think of that?
I know. Gay Talk 2.0.
Like, you sound like you're from the Bronx or Brooklyn.
Gay Talk 2.0.
All right. Focus, boys.
All right.
Amy.
So let's go ahead and read some of Amy's love. Hey guys, I'm looking for some advice. I'm the best man at my good friend Matt, his gay wedding this July, and I'm helping coordinate the band at the reception, which is also fronted by a good friend of mine, Dan. I saw Dan the other night and we were talking about the wedding, and he said he wanted to play a silly song during the reception, Chuck Berry's My Ding-a-Ling.
And I love that song.
And she attached a link, which Nick and I enjoyed for a moment. 10 minutes of moment. He wants to do it in the same style
That was 10 minutes of my life, Amy.
She says the whole nine, actually. Oh, no, that's not that kind of whole nine. He wants to do it in the same style with the calls and response, the whole nine. What do you guys think? Is it disrespectful or funny? Dan is white. Oh, Tom's favorite word. Dan is a white cisgender dude who is very kind. I'm on the fence. I would love to hear what you guys think. Just a crazy topic for the next show, maybe. Yes, indeed it is. I hope you guys are having a great time in D.C. Love, Amy, Fro, New Hampshire.
Well, Amy, all right, so let's talk about what do we think? Well, first of all, it's My Dingling. That song is fucking amazing. And it's in the sense that it's funny, and it may bring some sort of uplifting mood opportunity for their reception. So that's one thing. The other thing, too, is remember that this is not your ordinary wedding. This is a gay wedding. So the fact that it's already a gay wedding is not your ordinary wedding. So people are going to go to the wedding expecting something that's not the norm already.
I'm a pump to brakes. I'm a pump to brakes on that right quick.
But wait.
I was going to address two things, but no, because I am sick and tired. This is not her fault. This is nor your fault.
I'm going with this.
I'm sick and tired of people saying gay wedding or gay marriage. It's just a marriage. It's just a wedding. And it is to each individual couple what the wedding will be. So it can be a flashy, fabulous wedding, or it can be a classy, classic wedding, or it can be in the backyard, or it can be wherever. It doesn't matter. It's just a fucking marriage or a wedding.
Okay.
That being said, Tommy, I'll let you finish your point.
My point was that yes, it is a gay wedding, and yes, it should just be called a wedding, but the fact that it is a gay wedding sets different rules, because we, by nature, LGBTQ people, are funny, witty, drink a lot. We know how to fucking party. So you are going to automatically expect a different caliber of wedding, period.
True.
Your heterosexual weddings are cute.
Traditional.
Traditional, but you are going to expect something different. So if this is making you feel uncomfortable in any way, shape, or form, just know that you're dealing with a different beast.
But also has to do with the kind of, I would think more, because I know Trish would be like, no, you better don't play that at my wedding.
Yeah, no, if that came
well,
on,
especially
somebody
would die. Fact that he wants to do it in the same exact manner that Chuck Berry did, like at that concert.
What did you say?
Well, originally I had written down, honey, there's a time and a place for everything, and that time was that Chuck Berry concert. Originally. But now that I'm thinking about it, you know, I think it depends on who's going to this wedding.
Yeah.
And also, 101-year-old Baba from Slovakia was there. I don't think I was going to have her jumping around to a song about ding-a-ling.
Yeah.
But,
and call and repeat ding-a-ling.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
so,
welcome to the US of A.
And also, now, it's a gay wedding. Are you still going to keep it?
What kind of wedding?
Oh, fuck. It's gays.
Exactly.
It's two gay men getting married, which means there will be a lot of other gay people there. Tommy, how old are you? Shut your fucking mouth. which
She's
means
not
that
invited
there are
to my wedding.
There will be other gays, yes.
There
gays.
Will so if you're going to do a call and repeat, do you keep it the same way?
Call and repeat.
Or maybe they do all the straight men
or bottoms and tops.
But then all the women are left out. Either way, someone's going to get left out. And it's probably going to be Trish.
Somebody's going to get left out, but chances are everyone's going to have a good time and enjoy the craziness and the fact that it's not normal.
I say go for it now.
I say do the electric slide. Unless
that is so fucking cliche.
I'm sorry.
Amy, do not do the electric slide.
The only thing more cliche than that is what Tom made me do.
Hold on. My advice is, I really think it's up to you. I think you know your friend. And I think you know how your friend will react to it. And you know your friend's family and how they'll react to it. I think that you need to make an educated decision based on your best friend. You're the best man in the wedding.
Right.
Yeah. If you think for any reason that if you know personally the people that are invited to the wedding, which I'm sure you do, because if you're the best man, I was the best woman for my best friend's wedding. If you're the best man and you have been a part of the whole organizing and you know the seating chart and et cetera, and you know who's going, you very well know who these people are, or you should have an idea, for the most part. And you know what you can get away with and what you can't.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think for any you know reason that this is really not going to work, and I don't think you should do this, be honest with your friends, sit them down and say, I don't think you should do this. If you want to do something funny and quirky, find something else that's a little bit more relatable for everyone and do that.
But she's put in charge of this. So he, yeah. I mean, he definitely trusts her tastes. And like you said, she knows him.
She wouldn't be reaching out to us if she didn't have doubts
about
it.
Exactly. So she's thinking it over. I mean, okay, if it might be uncomfortable for his like homophobic grandfather from Savannah and make him feel uncomfortable, fuck it. One guy do it. Like, listen, just go for it.
Make him stay home. Well, he can watch all the kids.
There's also something too. She was specific in saying that the band member is a cisgender straight male. So is there an element of kind of making fun of people there? I don't really think so. I don't think that there's anything vicious on Dan's part in doing that, but
it's just funny. And the only reason it's just taboo is because some people just don't talk about sex.
Yeah.
Like it's not, you're not doing anything. You're literally, the men say ding-a-ling when he jumps to one side and the women, they're like, want, or it's just, it's all in good fun, but we're all adults. We know what fucking is. Like, yeah. Just
well, that, enjoy that's yourself. The other thing too.
Make sex fun.
Well, that's the other thing.
Oh, fuck.
You also have to keep in mind, okay, do we have children here? Mm-hmm. Are children going to the wedding? Then, you know, you really have to understand what the ramifications are of exposing children to questionable content. You know, something, not that it's questionable, maybe content they're just not ready to dissect and be exposed to at their ages.
That's actually not even inappropriate, though. I mean, ding-a-ling, like, that's like words that we say when we're little kids.
Yeah, no.
It's not like cock and balls and...
I mean, parents say, hey, grab your ding-a-ling and go use the bathroom in the potty, you know? Right. It's
not pounding pussy and, like, shit like that. Like,
listen,
that real vulgarity in the music these days.
If it makes you feel weird about it and you feel that you don't, then he shouldn't do it, have that conversation with him. But to be honest with you, I think it'll be a hoot. So what?
I want a video.
Yeah.
If you do,
I do. Oh my God, yes.
I think we've extrapolated it enough.
Extrapolate.
But I do have to say, if it were my wedding and it happened, I would murder people.
If it were
so
her
we can't
wedding?
Have it at our wedding?
If it were her wedding, she wouldn't even know it happened because she's got me waiting for her in the getaway car.
That's true.
Once it did happen, she wouldn't give a fuck. She'd be like, Tommy, go.
Unless it,
pump the gas.
Unless it was Chris, I'd probably actually go through with that.
I was going to say, you're going to run away from me? It's like us on the sidecar when we get
you
married.
You couldn't even go through with it in the bed.
I'm going to get up there, and then I'm supposed to say I do, and I just go, boom.
You're so hairy. So
I can picture if Trish and I were driving off in a motorcycle in a sidecar after our wedding. I'd be driving the motorcycle. Trish would be in the sidecar. I'd whip the gas. The fucking sidecar get detached. She'd be left behind. I'd just drive the fuck off.
So inside joke. So we were having such a good time yesterday. I've had so many laughs this weekend. It's been amazing. So Trish, how do you spell Madea?
I was already going to wait to bring that up.
M-A-D-E-O.
M-A-D-E-O.
We were driving. We were in like the fucking lovely state of New Jersey. Maybe possibly Delaware.
We were somewhere.
We just left the rest stop in Delaware.
Uh-huh.
And Tom was literally, I thought he was going to crash the car from dying from laughing. Trish is in the back doing
crossword
and she's asking things and she's like, what's that woman Tyler Perry plays? I'm like, Madea. She's like, how do you spell it? M-A-D-E-U.
Oh my God, I cracked up. I almost crashed the car. It was really funny. You go, boy. Yeah. That's what I got to say.
That was
the icebreaker. All right, guys, let's put a rubber on this thing.
Trish's
We've got some announcements.
Trish's got some things.
What do you got? Oh.
You got two Ooh. Things. You know what I'm talking about, girl. We missed one last week.
It's time for your gender identity definitions.
Yes.
Ba-ba-da. So this week, your gender identity term is gender identity.
I thought it was a typo. Yeah, I was like, wait a minute.
Which I don't know why I didn't start with this one first, because that makes the most sense, but I didn't. But
like
hey,
most
it's,
things.
Hey, it's Trish. So a person. So gender identity, a person's innermost concept of self as man, woman, a blend of both or neither. How individuals perceive themselves and what they call themselves. Gender, this is important. Gender identity can be the same or different from one's sex assigned at birth. Gender identity.
Yeah. So
gay talk.
I'm a woman.
Honey, I know.
I got a big mangina over here. Anyway, go ahead.
And then your gay talk term for the week.
What is our gay talk term?
Gay pride.
Yeah.
Because we are at Pride, we thought, why not just do Pride?
And we left the Gay Talk book back in New Haven.
Why do you always throw me under the bus? Always throwing me under the bus. All right, so Gay Pride, a sense of... Thank you. There it is. Gay Pride, a sense of dignity and satisfaction in connection with the public acknowledgement of one's own homosexuality.
Okay.
Right.
Which I actually think should be updated a little bit because it's not just homosexuality. Well, I guess gay pride would be. We got to get rid of the pride.
Pride.
Well, pride.
Everyone's doing hashtag pride now.
Pride.
Gay pride.
You know, this.
But that goes back to the first.
I'm almost 30, behind the times now. I can't keep up with the hashtag.
This is what happens when we reference books written in the 60s, right?
Sure yeah.
Because the Gay Talk Term book was written in what? When was it published?
Oh my god!
It was a long time ago. So yeah, that's what we
formerly known as the Queen's Vernacular.
Exactly. The pages have that yellowish.
No, but we did mention this before that you know we're using these terms and we're getting them from a book that existed a very long time ago. So when it was published, some of these terms really do not relate to what we see as the community nowadays. So it's
Daisy chain.
Well, no.
Well, that's still a thing.
Well,
Daisy chain. I haven't had enough cocktails tonight yet.
I don't know. Daisy chain was just weird because immediately as we started reading, I was like, the first thing I thought of was centipede.
The human centipede.
I was like, holy shit. I was like, holy shit, no pun intended, because, you know, it was nasty. Anyway, go ahead.
1979.
My point.
Oh, you were researching that the whole time?
Yeah.
Of course.
She was Googling it.
No, that can't be right.
Listen, she knows when I throw her under the bus, she better find those dates.
Fact check.
So
we're going to do this?
You motherfuckers.
What? All right, so you know what? Let's just bring this home. All right, guys. So listen, so some final announcements. Thank you to a listener who decided to join our Patreon page. She decided to sponsor the show by becoming a Patreon member. And like we've said so many times, if every one of our members, just one of them, just donated a dollar, committed to donating a dollar on Patreon, we would be able to fund the necessary production for the show with minimal effort, just $1. So again, Patreon is a service that allows you, our listeners, to help us here on the show continue to bring you the show that you come to love over and over again.
All four of you.
One of the other things that you can do to help us, all four of you, you're right? I can't. So one of the other things that you can do also to help us and give us a little love here on the show is to go to iTunes, subscribe to our show, make sure that you like the show, and leave a comment, you know, rate the show. Tell people what you think about it, because the more you do that, the more visibility we gain on iTunes and on any of the Apple or even the other platforms like Google Play Music and Tuned In and all those other amazing services that we use to bring you our show. Nick?
Well, technically, I have nothing to say.
Yeah. It's like, what do you mean?
But if you've given me a space to say something, I'm going to take it.
So
thank you, thank you, thank you to DC Pride, because it's been amazing. It's been a great time meeting a lot of great people. And the Equality March was wonderful. So thank you to all of those who put all the time and effort into putting that together.
It was an amazing experience, and I'll never forget it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it was excellent.
Yavo! Christopher?
Alrighty, guys. As always, our show is available on our website, gaytalk20.com, under show and episodes. It is available as a free download on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Stitcher Radio.
Nick announces.
Oh, good to have you back, Bo.
You can find us on social media, Facebook, Gay Talk 2.0, Instagram at Gay Talk. Oh, no, Instagram, Gay Talk 2.0. Twitter at Gay Talk 20. Email us at gaytalk2.0@gmail.com. Tom, take it away.
1 week away.
One fucking week.
Just 1 week.
I know.
And cursive. All right. Well,
gotten like 6 hours in the past 48 of sleep.
And we love you. No, that bitch slept in my car. Somewhat. in between her little, you know, crossword puzzles. But anyway, let's focus. If you need to reach out to us for anything, you can just head on over to our website and click on the Contact Us tab right at the top of your web browser. You can leave us comments. You can suggest topics, submit a question for the cast, or you can submit a question for an individual host. You can also leave us questions via voicemail, where you can call us by just dialing 334-GAY-TALK. And if you need the numbers, that's 334-429-8255. Don't forget that the show streams live every Monday, except today, at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on digitalstreamradio.com. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much. We've had such an amazing time at Pride in D.C. Thank you, and y'all have a fantastic night. Bye!
Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more Dish.